But we're here to worship God together this morning, right? Look at you too. I wanted to hug her and hold her, but it won't be today. But man, praise God how God worked in this last week and a half, amen? Wow. I'm so thankful to be here and to continue in our Hosea series. But after today, we'll only have 3 weeks left of Hosea. Last week, we saw that the first word of wisdom that we should glean from Hosea that comes from Hosea 14:9 as we look through the first five chapters is the wise person will make knowing God the praise and passion of their life. I hope you were wise enough this past week to pursue that, God being the praise and the very passion of your life. I know a few of you reached out to me. I want to thank you. You know who you are, who were praying for me, where God was the praise and passion of your life this week. And I want to thank you for that. This morning, our second word of wisdom from Hosea, we're going to do it right up front, is the wise person will make loyalty to God the aim of their life. Wow, what a good pursuit. We saw in chapter 2 that God wanted our faithfulness as his bride. And we said that these are the days for the church to draw closer and closer to the Lord. The days to be more faithful as a church, more devoted, more loyal to him than we've ever been. I want to be that. Do you want to be that? Yes, I do, and I know you do too, to draw closer and closer to him. Why? So that we can be the light of the world, that we can be the salt of the world that he would have us be. I hope we are pursuing that. So in our passage this morning, God himself adds to what we have already seen, and he tells us what kind of faithfulness and loyalty he is looking for. The title of today's message is Loyal Like a Fog. I imagine for most of you, that's not too hard to figure out where we're going to go with that. But loyal like a fog, because that is basically how God described Israel during the time of unfaithfulness. Turn with me, please, to Hosea 6, 4 through 6. What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? For your loyalty is like a morning cloud and like the dew which goes away early. Therefore I have hewn them in pieces by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth. And the judgments on you are like the light that goes forth. For I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice, and in the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. Lord, I pray this morning as we gather here together that as you search our heart, that we are gathered here out of a true loyalty, a true faithfulness, a true love for you. I pray, Lord, that you will touch our hearts where you see fit, that we will be the children you would have us be. Lord, I thank you for this time to worship you and be in your word. Let us glean the wisdom from the book of Hosea, the wisdom you would have us see today. And may we apply that through your spirit to our life. In your name we pray. Amen. So he starts right out of the gate. Your loyalty is like a morning cloud. I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice. And in the knowledge of God, as we saw last week in the message, knowing God. I hope if you weren't here or you weren't able to listen to the message that you go back and listen to that. It is obvious that the loyalty Israel thought they had to God was not the loyalty that he desired, obviously. Just like the knowledge that they thought they had of God. Remember, God said, you do not know me. It wasn't the knowledge that God desired. They did not have a loyalty that pleased the Lord, not a loyalty that was acceptable to God. we're going to see that there is a loyalty that is acceptable. This word loyalty is a quality of strong feeling and faithfulness of support and allegiance. Synonyms such as allegiance we see in the definition: fidelity, obedience, adherence, devotion, bond, steadfastness, true-heartedness, and trueness. It's giving or showing firm and constant support or allegiance to a person or to an institution. You know, many of you know me well, and those of you who know me extremely well, those closest to me, will tell you this is one of my most valued and treasured character traits in those that I surround myself with. I have learned firsthand in the secular world, in the business world, the relationships within the body of Christ, in family and in friendships, that loyalty, now don't get me wrong, not sin-condoning loyalty, not loyalty that's going to help you cover up sin, but true loyalty, authentic true loyalty, is a massive pillar in character. I personally have a hard time abiding disloyal people, and those of you who know me know that. That's where compassion has to come in. That's where forgiveness and reconciliation must come to the forefront. But disloyalty, why? Because those people cannot be trusted. Disloyal people cannot be trusted. The first thing God said is that Israel's brand of loyalty, when you look at it, was like a morning cloud, like a dew which goes away early. You know, living here most of my life, when you come across Eagle Creek Reservoir in the morning, you'll see fog coming off the water. You'll see this fog has settled over everything. A fog that was especially dense one time when I came across Eagle Creek, and you know, you can hardly see. But what happens to that fog when the sun comes out? It dissipates. It goes away. No doubt you also at some time or another have experienced fog. You've experienced a morning cloud on your way to work or in your travels. If you've ever been in the Smoky Mountains, you'll probably experience it daily. I thought about that fog when I read God's description here of Israel's loyalty in Hosea. What is the one of the most obvious characteristics of morning fog? What's one of the most obvious characteristics of morning dew? The moment the sun comes out, it dissipates and it vanishes. It goes away. And God said to them, "What shall I do with you? What am I supposed to do with you guys?" You can almost feel God's disappointment there. What am I to do with you, Ephraim? What am I to do with you, Judah? Your loyalty is like the dew which goes away early. This word early does not modify the word dew, but rather means go away. It goes away. The point is that Israel's loyalty and devotions to God was a short-lived loyalty, like a fog that faded quickly. Their loyalty would come and it would go. It would come and it would go. And God says, that's not the kind of loyalty that I'm looking for out of you. So this morning, when we look at God's loyalty, I mean the loyalty God wants from us, let's look at some characteristics that we want. The first characteristics of the loyalty God is looking for is a loyalty, everyone, that is constant. A loyalty that is constant. When God called Israel, if you remember, and he set his love upon them, and he made a covenant with them, what was the expectation? His expectation was for them to love him back and to be faithful and loyal to him alone. Yet all of Israel's history, and we've seen this, demonstrated that she was a fickle people. a very unfaithful people in a constant cycle of sinful idolatry, then punishment, then restoration, then repentance and return to the Lord, only to wander away again. And that loyalty over all those years, we saw that slide of all the years of unfaithfulness, that loyalty was like a fog to God. It wasn't constant. It would dissipate, just like fog does in the sun. And so we have to realize something. Since we have a covenant love is a permanent love with the Lord. Our love then should be loyal, constant to Him. So why don't we just use God's own metaphor? Let's use God's own metaphor of marriage. How does this play out in a marriage? We see how God takes man and woman, marries them, and that's a symbol of Christ and the church. And we see here in Hosea and Gomer, this marriage God had with, in that marriage, how it was to symbol the marriage God had with Israel. So let's use His own metaphor. Think about this. When a couple marry, they make vows of faithfulness, vows of loyalty to one another that will remain constant for better or worse, in sickness and in health, for richer or poorer, when, until death do they part. And I don't mean they kill one another. Until death they do part. So in other words, there is a realization that in the road ahead, there will certainly be times of testing that will challenge the marriage, that will challenge the commitment to one another. Yet there is a vow that is made that through it all and in it all, each will remain faithful. Each will remain loyal. They will remain constant through it all. I mean, think about it. We're living in a society that has certainly lost that concept in marriage. One lady told a counselor, "I thought I married the ideal. Turns out he was an ordeal. Now I want a new deal." Don't kid yourself. That happens a lot. Seriously, though, what does God want from us? What does He want? When we think of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, He held nothing back from His disciples nor from us. He never sugarcoated the truth. Think about this in this metaphor we're using. He told them in advance that the world would hate them. And He told them in advance that they would have trials, that they would have tribulations. And He didn't stop there. He even told them they would be persecuted, right? In other words, in their marriage to Him, there will be times of better and worse, sickness and health, poverty and plenty. But He wants us to know that His loyalty to them would be constant. And likewise, our loyalty to Him, He wanted to be constant as well. God's expectation in Revelation 2:10, be faithful until death. That word faithful is that word loyal. This is a command. It's a command in the present tense, meaning be continually faithful. Be continually loyal until I call you home to glory, until death. Paul, he told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15:8, he said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." Aren't you thankful He put that in there? Knowing that your toil is not in vain. He says, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. This is that loyalty of consistency that is constant. Again, here's another command in the present tense, meaning always. It never goes away. Always. What is it that makes this so difficult for us? I mean, I guess the easy answer, you could say, sin. But what makes this so difficult? What is it that attempts to draw us away from the Lord? Draw us away in our faithfulness? Draw us away from this loyalty God wants? I mean, is it just the worse instead of the better? Is it just the sickness instead of the health, or the poor instead of the well? And for some, is it the life instead of the death? The hardship instead of the cruise ship? The tribulation instead of just constant jubilation? Or being persecuted rather than celebrated? The Bible tells us there are three areas, three things that seek to draw you away from faithfulness and loyalty to your Lord. Y'all want to know what they are? All right. The first one is pleasures of the world. This is the love of the world, i.e., sinful pleasures, the love of self. The next one is pressures in the world. This is the worry of the world, i.e., the stresses and the anxieties of life. We saw that in the parable of Jesus where it comes out and chokes the word out of you. And then there's the persecutions from the world. This is the fear of the world, retribution, harm, suffering for the Lord. So you have the pleasures of the world, the pressures of the world, and the persecutions from the world. And when we allow either the pleasures, pressures, or persecutions in the world to push us or pull us away from the Lord, from faithfully worshiping Him, faithfully serving Him, we have to some degree a loyalty to Him that is like a fog, a loyalty that dissipates with the rising sun. Ask yourself, how many of you enjoy relationships that you're in that come and go as the morning dew or the morning fog? Do we enjoy those kind of relationships? How about if you're in a marriage where the love covenant was only counted on with the strength of a fog or the strength of a morning dew? We would find out very quickly there would be no peace there. No safety, no contentment, no joy there. So we must say, hey, look, as we live in this harvest field of the world, being His lights in His lights, here is what God wanted from Israel, and here is what God wants from us today. Imagine if this was our heart. Whom have I in heaven but You? And besides You, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from You will perish. You have destroyed all those who are unfaithful to You. But as for me, Lord, but as for me, the nearness of God is my good, and I have made the Lord my refuge, that I may tell of Your works. We just sang about that in the first song this morning. Wow, imagine that. If we really know God, think about this. No pleasure in the world is worth His displeasure. If we really know God, no pressure in the world is greater than His power and His presence. And there's no persecution from the world that can compare to His love that suffered so much for us, that we might have eternal life. There are no pleasures, no pressures, no persecution that outweigh the nearness to God. Amen? Right on? So the first characteristics of the loyalty God is looking for is a loyalty, everyone, that is constant. Let's look at a second one, a second characteristics of loyalty, a loyalty that is genuine, a loyalty that is genuine. Now, there is something else that's very interesting about fogs. Fogs fool you. They have this great appearance, over a whole entire lake and a road, and they fool you. yet they have no real substance. Did you know scientific experiments show that a bank of fog, 3 feet thick and 6 feet high and 100 feet long, contain less than 1/7 of a glass of full water? I put that up there so you can see the glass. Actually, it would look more like this. Even smaller than that. I mean, you couldn't even quench your thirst with a fog, let alone bathe in it and clean. You couldn't do much with a fog. That's all you get. What a fooler. I mean, what a scam. A great show with very little substance. You know all the words, all bark, no what? All words, little meaning. Pretty on the outside, beaten with the ugly stick on the inside. All act, no action. Man, no lips, all Botox. I don't know. Fake. No substance. And that was the loyalty that Israel had. All show, no substance. God said, I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice. You see, God saw Israel's worship of him as having no substance. So what was the substance that he wanted? He wanted them to have a loyalty towards him corresponding with his loyalty to them. God didn't go through the motions of being unfaithful to Israel on his part of the covenant. He meant it. He was going to do it, and he loved them. It was his love that prompted his faithfulness. As we've already seen, Israel went through the motions of the Levitical sacrificial system. We saw that. But such loyalty, so much ritual, was not what God wanted. Their sacrifices to him were meaningless. They were without substance. Namely, a loyalty that can come from a heart of love for God and the desire to know him more fully and to obey him with all their heart, with real loyalty. That's what he wanted. Israel had come to the point where they were going through the motions. They were going through the sacrificial system. They were going through the rituals. But there was no heart and no love in it. It was all ritual and no relationship. You see, the sacrifice itself is what became the object of the worship. The very sacrifice itself became the idol, not the means of expressing that it should have been in their knowing the Lord and loving the Lord that it was intended to be. You know, think about this. We sang all these songs this morning. Think about it. How many of you ever sang the song, I Surrender All? How many of you mean it? We can go through life saying, I surrender all on Sunday, knowing full well that we will live the rest of the week not surrendering our whole life to Christ. Or I surrender all, knowing that we may be living in the margins, but we feel at least that we're somewhat faithful. My question for the church, preaching and teaching and reading and singing and fellowshipping and ministry, my question for me is, why can't I just sell out for God? Why can't I just be 100% on fire for the Lord? Why can't I just be 100% loving lost souls? Why am I so absorbed with self-interest and the things of my life? But you know, those are good questions for you to ask, because if you're asking those, at least the Spirit's moving in you. Listen to what Amos, a contemporary of Hosea, said about Israel's worship. They were saying, "When will the new moon be over? When will the Sabbath be over?" They could not wait till the Sabbath, kind of like until church was over, so that they could get back to doing their business. Oh, when is he going to be quiet? When is this going to be over? How can you come to the house of God and not open your mouth and sing to him? God sees that. Remember, let's be very clear here. We don't want to do in worship to look good. We want to worship to please God. We want the right heart attitude, the right heart before the Lord. Hosea is not advocating the doing away with the ceremony. He's not advocating the doing away with the ritual. He's not advocating get rid of worship services, but rather he is stating that those things are meaningless without a heart for the Lord. Everything we do here today, everything we do in our Christian walk without real worship is meaningless. The Lord does want those things, but he wants to be worshiped authentically. As I put some wording together, think on this. A heartless worship is a worthless worship. A worthless worship is a meaningless worship. A meaningless worship is a profitless worship. And a profitless worship is a pointless worship. Heartless, everyone, is worthless to God. And if something is worthless, that something is meaningless. And if it's meaningless, then you gain no profit from it. And if it gains you nothing, then there is no point in being involved. And God says, hey, don't worship me in pointless worship. I want a relationship with you. I want to love you and you love me. I have great things I want to do through you. I want you to show my glory throughout the world and proclaim me throughout the world. Don't make this pointless, meaningless, worthless, profitless. So as we gather here this morning, we might successfully hide the truth from others of what our lives are really like, what we really feel about worship, what we really do in our daily time, but we cannot hide our lives from God, no matter how hard we may try to hide the truth. The Lord, and I'm thankful for this. If you're really thankful for God's moving in your life, you're actually thankful that the Lord sees through your foggy days. The smoke screen that we want to put up, and he tells us, no, no, I want to reveal that to you. I want your genuine worship. And he peels back the tape that covers the truth. Sometimes that's hard, and sometimes that hurts, especially if you're hairy. But it's good for us. It's good for us. Let's have a real heart that makes knowing him the praise and the very passion of our life, and giving him all of our loyalty as the aim of our life. So we see the first characteristic is a loyalty that is always constant. The second, a loyalty that is always genuine. Well, there's a third we're going to close with today, and you're probably going to wonder how he got this point. I'm going to show you. A loyalty that is compassionate. A loyalty that is compassionate. Did you know that Jesus on two occasions actually quoted Hosea 6:6? This verse that says, "For I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice, and in the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings, but he will change a word." And in doing so, he gave us real insight as to what God desires in loyalty to him. We saw this actually in the Blessed Life series when we looked at Matthew 9:13, where it says this, "But go and learn what this means." That's what he told the Pharisees. "I desire compassion," or mercy in the NIV, "and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." And you remember back at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Blessed are the merciful." What was going on here was that the Pharisees were missing something in their attitude towards sinners. They were missing the very heart of God and what God desires. They were missing what God has, namely a heart of compassion and a heart of mercy towards sinners. Are you thankful for that God has that? Jesus will say this again in Matthew 12:7, and four times we read in Matthew that Jesus felt compassion for the people. Wow. You see, compassion was what the Father had for the returning prodigal son. Do you remember that in Luke 15? So God says, God values mercy. God values compassion far above any sacrifice. Far above. Meaning what by the sacrifice in the context? He desires it far above only external law-keeping, religious rituals for outward appearances, such as what the Pharisees were practicing. Jesus is actually saying, where is your heart? Where is your compassion for these who are hurting, for these who are sick and are in need of help and in need of healing? The Pharisees, remember, with that holier-than-thou attitude, they had no compassion for sinners. What did they have? They had plenty, plenty of condemnation. They were totally out of tune with the very heart of Jesus and the heart of the Father towards lost sinners. And in doing so, they demonstrated that they really did not know God. They didn't really know his desire. They really didn't know his heart. I want you to notice something here. Notice that Jesus substituted the word compassion for the genuine word in Hosea 6:6, loyalty to God, that Hosea spoke about. This word loyalty here in Hosea, when used of God, is most often translated as loving kindness, as you'll see in Hosea 2:19. Wow. And God expects that the loving kindness that we have received from him, the mercy, the grace, the beautiful compassion he has shown us, should be demonstrated, it should be passed on in loving kindness and compassion to others. So, did you see what Jesus really did here? He's God. He's brilliant. Jesus brought together the two greatest commandments, to love God and love your neighbor. The loving kindness that God has shown to us, therefore, should be expressed in the love and loving kindness to others. This is part of our loyalty to God. You know, the very first remark that God made in his case against Israel was in Hosea 4:1, "There is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God." There was no kindness in the land. Kindness. One might think it's such a little thing. But is it really such a little thing when you think about the wars that are raging right now? When you think about the hatred in the world, the bitterness in the world, the lack of forgiveness, the grudge holding that takes place in our life? Is kindness that small? You see, kindness or compassion is no small thing because it is absolutely paramount to God. And we have to see that. Even the smallest acts of compassion are appreciated in a world that lacks love towards their brother. Going to church, my friends, does not give us the liberty to be cross, ugly in words, or unkind or uncompassionate to others, especially at home or at school or the rest of the week. Going to church does not excuse away a lack of repentance and a lack of forgiveness to one another. Nor does it excuse away how we treat one another in word and action. It should have quite the opposite effect if we're here with a genuine heart. We should be more compassionate because of what God's doing in our hearts and in our life. So Israel's so-called loyalty to God did not extend in kindness to others, and therefore that aspect of their loyalty was not acceptable to God. So hear me now. Foggy loyalty to God will always play out as foggy loyalty to one another. You sin, you live a life sinning against God, you will live a life sinning against your brother. Our relationship with Christ directly and through yielding to the Holy Spirit impacts how we are towards our fellow man. Here's the equation. And we see it throughout Scripture, and we see it right here in Hosea. When your loyalty to God is constant and genuine, it will show itself in how you treat others, namely loving compassion. So we have seen last week and this week that a true knowledge of God with a true loyalty to God will always show in a transformed life of action. You will be doers of the Word of God. I love that. Wisdom. Whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. The ways of the Lord are right, and the righteous will walk in them, but transgressors will stumble in them. So we must learn today, I don't want to be the one who stumbles. I want to walk in that path, that loyalty that is pleasing and acceptable to God is one that is constant, one that is genuine, and one that is compassionate. Amen? So as we saw last week, the wise person will make knowing God the praise and the passion of their life. Today, the wise person will make this kind of loyalty to God the aim of their life. And I can't wait to share with you the next three wisdom principles. But let's start with these two. So I'm going to ask you a litany of questions this morning and ask God to help you answer them. Is your loyalty one that is steadfast and constant? Are you on to Jesus now, but next week, who knows? Can you say of your loyalty that over the years, I have had rough times, but overall, and through it all, my faith and my loyalty has held strong and has held constant. If you can say that, then praise God. You are living godly wisdom in your life. Is your loyalty one of love? Do you have a loving relationship with Jesus that's so strong? Or do you find yourself primarily going through the motions? How about this? Why are you here this morning? Is it because of tradition? Is it because this is what makes you look good in front of your friends? Is it obligation? Are you here out of habit or ritual? Or are you here today out of love for the Lord? We have to remember that a heartless worship truly is a worthless worship. God is not looking for our attendance, everybody. He's looking for you. He's looking for our heart. I want to give that to Him. Do you want to have God just have all of you? What will you do when you leave the service this morning? And how did you live the week before you came here today? Is your loyalty to God one that shows in mercy towards others, and compassion towards others, and kindness and love towards your fellow man? Or would Jesus say to you, like He said to the Pharisees, go and learn what this means? Well, thank God we can do that. If we're lacking in any of these areas, we have the Holy Spirit, and through His transforming work in our life, if we yield to that, He can change us. He can embolden our loyalty. He can embolden our praise and passion to Him. He can give us a new heart towards other people. Let's ask God to change our hearts if they are lukewarm this morning. If you're here this morning and your heart is neither hot nor cold, say, God, change that. Change it into heat. Change it into fire. Let's ask God for a fresh power to live each and every day in a way that pleases Him and for a loyalty that does not ever waver. With the Holy Spirit, we can do that. You know, as we close and the praise team comes up, if you are here this morning and you have never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you have not committed yourself to following Him, to loving Him, to serving Him, a church service will never replace that. Only Jesus can change that. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, come this morning. Let us share with you the gospel of good news and what He's done for you. If you're here today and you're in the margins, say, Lord, change my heart. When Jesus quoted Hosea 6:6, he concluded with these words, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. That was his conclusion. So Jesus is calling you today if you do not know Him as your Lord and Savior. And I pray as we stand and sing, that we sing this closing song with hearts of sincerity, real authenticity, hearts of real loyalty. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily, daily live. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me, Lord. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. And then I added a line. We're not going to sing it. All to Jesus, I surrender. I worship You, the only royalty. Knowing You is my praise and passion, giving You all my loyalty. I surrender all. I surrender all. Let's stand and sing.